Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill Gross, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. It is a good day so far.
It is always surprising, Bill. The job, I never get bored, folks, with this job. How do you carry this forward for the American economy?
Well, I see it a little bit differently than Jim Glassman, and he spoke to a 3% growth rate producing jobs. I look at the jobs produced and the numbers that you cited in terms of average hourly earnings at 0.1% versus 0.2%. I look at the work week being down, and I look at an employment force that simply doesn't have much more money to bolster consumption. And so, you know, it's obvious to me that
right.
we're nowhere near the 3% level that many economists are thinking of for 2014.
A series that David Malpass looks at a lot is change in household employment, a secondary series, I'm going to call it. It was pretty moldy this time around. Are there two Americas, Bill Gross?
Oh, definitely two Americas. You know, there's the rich, the 90, the 1%, and there's corporations that, should realize, in my opinion, that it's in their best interest to promote a broader distribution of wealth and compensation. We don't see that. We see some gains or some efforts towards minimum wage, but, you know, these numbers this morning, Tom, in terms of average hourly earnings at 0.1%, suggest a continuation of two Americas. Corporate profits are at 14% as a percentage of national income. That's before tax. That's a record. I look back at a chart higher than at any point since 1955. So definitely two Americas here.
Labor force participation, to me, folks, that is the animal spirit. Rebounds is the wrong word, goes through to the October low, 62.8% of Americans participating in our labor force. Bill Gross, that I don't care what anybody's politics is. If this was Italy, we'd be going, oh, mon Dieu, it's Italy, how terrible. I mean, it's a horrific trend, isn't it?
It is, and let's point out, I'm not sure exactly how this correlates into the 6.7%,
sure.
because the 6.7, is moving closer to the 6.5, which presumably is a target, not a threshold for the Fed in terms of, policy going forward. The 62.8 versus 63 simply means that the unemployment rate would be affected downward significantly
right.
by that particular number, and so it's a case
yeah.
today of people dropping out of the workforce.
Bill, let me go bigger and broader here. I think of James Bullard, president of the St. Louis Fed. There's all this discussion of the IS curve in economics, and what that means, folks, is the real economy and the idea of a sluggishness, even with a little bit of rebound here, there, everywhere, which leads to disinflation, a lack of inflation. Bill Gross, is a lack of inflation a good thing?
Well, it can be. Lack of inflation for consumers, certainly is a positive, but a lack of inflation comes dangerously close to the zero line and to deflation in terms of debtors. To the extent that the debts can't be serviced with next to no inflation or negative inflation, or can't be serviced as well, then the possibility of a debt deflation and the possibility of a mimicking Lehman 2008 comes into play. So that lower inflation and in cases historically of lower prices and deflation,
right.
Can be a positive for an economy, but not for a levered economy.
I haven't seen it in a zillion years to see so many people get this wrong. Sympathies to Jan Hatzius at Goldman Sachs, who nailed the call, but then made an adjustment yesterday or the day before to a greater optimism. But Hatzius was there. Tom Porcelli of RBC Capital Markets did a great job on caution as well. Bloomberg Surveillance, it's Jobs Day. We're brought to you by Invesco. Timely tweets and bottom line blogs help you invest intentionally. Go to Invesco.com/US. to subscribe to the Invesco blog and follow Invesco US on Twitter. As he often does on Jobs Day, we're honored to bring you Bill Gross, William Gross of PIMCO. I first met Bill Gross at the Waldorf Astoria. No, he did not have the presidential suite up top and all that. But I met him as he was coming off a horrific 6 months, 10 months, 1 year of bond performance. Bill, there's been a lot of articles about the challenges you faced. Just to be honest, you've seen this before, haven't you?
Well, I've seen a down-priced market before, certainly in the 70s and in the early 80s, and then perhaps that was when we met, yes. But
people think I met you at a stamp convention, by the way.
Not true. But, you know, let me add that for PIMCO, the total return fund and alike, you know, it had a negative sign in front of it, but it outperformed the market. We continued to do what we're supposed to do, is that add alpha to our market,
right.
And it, in terms of a horrendous year, not really for PIMCO.
You and Tony Crescenzi, your ace short-term guy, have talked about the professional complexities of a carry trade, which on the yield curve is like a 3 to 5, 6 year, you know, the dynamics of what Bill Gross actually does, besides come on Bloomberg surveillance. What are you doing right now? Are you reversing what has been a policy of being in that 3 to 5 year place? Is that what you're selling?
No, and I saw a blog that that suggested that in terms of a rumor, you know, definitely not. You know, my positions and our positions have been held and obviously confirmed by this morning's report. We simply think that the most certainty in terms of prices, current prices, and future policy, you know, it lies in the Fed and its forward guidance that we've received, that they will not change the Fed funds rate until after the taper is over. That should be at the end of 2014, and that after that point in time, there will be a considerable period of time at which they will then diagnose
right.
whether or not they should begin to move upwards. And so at 2016, we still see a Fed funds rate at close to 25 basis points. It's way underpriced and over-yielded in terms of the futures market.
I can't convey, folks, on this January morning of 2014, this is the arch debate about the job market, about the American political economy, and frankly, as we go to Davos, about Europe and the greater global system. Bill Gross, you, Doug Cass out at Seabreeze, Dan Elpert with his wonderful book, The Age of Oversupply, say the certitude of higher interest rates is simply unfounded. What does consensus get wrong when they say, you know, likely we're going to 3.25%, 3.5% 10-year yield? What's wrong with that assessment?
Well, the assessment is significantly dependent now with the assumption that quantitative easing ends. It's significantly dependent now on what the Fed does in terms of its policy rate going forward. You know, the market believes that, you know, this beginning of tapering and the ending of quantitative easing, you know, almost immediately leads to a policy hike into a tightening type of cycle. I would point out that, you know, the future Fed funds level in 2017 and 18 is expected to be 4% or so, and that level reflects a 3.75%, 375 basis point increase, which would be one of the largest cyclical increases in decades. And in a levered economy, I wonder whether an economy can face those types of yields, which would imply a 6% plus mortgage rate.
Mm-hmm. Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio Plus, folks, a conversation with James Moore of PIMCO a few days ago. He's with their pension strategy division. He's in charge of figuring out how Bill Gross can get his 401k to a bigger number. And we heard yesterday or a couple days ago about James Moore's assessment of what the total return should be. I think all of our listeners, Bill, would like to know, when you think of a total return of a retirement plan, what does Bill Gross think? Are you as cautious as your Mr. Moore, a 4% or 5%? Can you be like me, 7%? Or are we both nuts?
Well, our numbers in terms of the bond market would be 3% plus or minus, and in the stock market, 5% plus or minus.
Oh,
and that combination comes to Jim Moore's number. You know, I think we're headed, Tom, you know, to a future point where we can't get rich quickly, and actually we can't get rich slowly. And so, you know, let's have expectations going forward of low single digits as opposed to high mm-hmm. and double digits in equity markets as well.
Bill, how distorted is QE 1, 2, 3, Rubini would say 4, 5, 6, 7. How distorted is the greater PIMCO bond market. Let's say mortgage-backed securities, maybe even bank loans, but let's stay with full faith and credit and mortgage-backed securities. How distorted is your bond market?
It's hard to put a number on it. The Fed can't put a number on it. They've had significant numbers of studies that try to do that over the last few years. You're asking for an approximate, and I'll give you
sure.
one. I think the 10-year is probably distorted by 100 basis points or 1%. That is absent quantitative easing. It'd probably be back to something closer to 4 as something closer to 3, but that's difficult. It's more obvious in the front end where the Fed funds is 25 basis points. Historically, that would be, more around 1.5 to 2% reflective of inflation that we see at the moment.
Okay, but and well said, we've gone from 0.29 to 0.39 on the 2-year yield. Folks, we don't look at this as much, but Bill Gross eats and breathes 24/7. You say we got to get over a stick on the 2-year yield. I would suggest, and using a Greenspan word, we're going to get turbulence in the short-term bond space within that movement. If we go 0.39, 0.49, 0.59, at some point, things really get turned upside down. What will be the ramifications of that for our listeners?
Well, that would imply that the Fed might not only have lost control of the long end of the yield curve, but lost control of the front end. They can't afford to do that. That would mean that they've lost control of the bond market. As they transition through tapering and quantitative easing, what they want to do through forward guidance, is to basically control the first year or two, and that's the 2-year, in terms of its yield, because that in turn has a certain relationship to the 5-year and mortgage rates to a certain extent. So the Fed has to control something. If they lose control of expectations of inflation or expectations in policy going forward, then they truly have lost the battle.
Peter Bookfart at the Lindsay Group, scratching his head, is how he puts it over the jobs report. He notices the Bureau of Labor Statistics saying there's a total of 250,000 plus people not working because of the weather, the most in a zillion years, 1977. That's the last time Bill Gross had a mustache and a beard. That's weather related, Bill. If the optimists tell you that this was a one-off weather knockoff, how do you respond?
Well, if it was, then presumably we're back in a mode of close to 200,000 and back on track perhaps for the end of quantitative easing by the end of this year.
But you don't see that.
I don't see that. Well, I do see. No, I do think the Fed wants out, and I think they made that clear. They're pretty much in unison in terms of the taper, and I think, although I'm not sure, the number on a meeting by meeting basis. And so I do believe that by the end of 14 we'll be out. But I do as well believe that by the end of 2015 that they will not have begun to raise interest rates.
Bill, last question. I know you hate to fly. If you were to take the John Madden train to Davos, what would you tell the elite that meet to greet in Davos? What would be your message to the Davosians, to Davos man?
Well, the basic message would be several messages, suggesting the continued need for fiscal, stimulation. That's a long-standing debate, but from my perspective, the fiscal policy becomes important now that monetary policy has done what it can, and so fiscal policy and fiscal spending deficits, are a requirement going forward in terms of a highly levered economy. I'd also say that those deficits should be applied globally, when possible, to investment, because the world lacks investment and is basically eating its seed corn as we speak.
Bill Gross, thank you so much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.